Well, in Exodus 15, you have the Song of Moses praising Yahweh for delivering his people through the Red Sea. But that song is repeated. It's repeated in Isaiah chapter 12, or if bits and pieces of it are repeated there, where it's given another application to, hopefully, how the returned exiles would praise God when they returned from Babylon. And then in Revelation 15, you read of this song being sung by those who enter God's kingdom. So, when Israel were in Egypt, this was like us being in the world. And then we were saved out of Egypt, insofar as we were baptized into the Lord Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 10 is clear that they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, as we are baptized into Jesus. The cloud was just water, so there was water both sides of them and water on top of them. They were enveloped in water. They were immersed, if you like. And so Paul very perceptively sees that that points forward to our baptism into Jesus, and so opens up this huge parable that we were saved out of Egypt. And Moses praises God in Exodus 15 for this deliverance. And he says there that Yahweh is my strength and song and has become my salvation. This again is repeated in Isaiah 12 verse 2. God is my salvation, for Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. So, Yah is my salvation, and that is the basic meaning of Yehoshua. In Greek, Jesus, Jesus. So, what does that mean? It means the salvation of Yah. Yah is salvation. So, as Moses praises God for his great salvation, Yah's salvation, he was coming close to the Spirit of Jesus. So then, that song of praise for how Israel were delivered from Egypt, that is what is going to be sung in the kingdom of God, when we finally, in another fuller sense, leave Egypt, leave the flesh, and enter God's kingdom. And so, in Isaiah 12, you have this song being sung again, or them being told they're going to sing it again, when they are redeemed from Babylon. That was the idea. And therefore, Isaiah 12, verse 3, with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation, connecting with how after the song of Moses, the people came to the wells of Rephidim. Because of this great salvation, they wanted to tell everybody about it. Isaiah 12, verse 5, repeating Exodus 15, verse 1, verse 25, sing to Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known in all the earth. This is a natural response to salvation, to tell others. In fact, it is the natural response to any gospel, to any good news. If you really have good news, you naturally want to tell someone else. This is natural. And so this should be the core motivation in our witness to this world. Not a glum sort of, yeah, I got a conscience about evangelism, I guess I should be involved in this, but naturally telling other people. This is such a great thing to observe when somebody from a totally secular, non-Christian background gets baptized under Jesus, and they naturally find this way to just talk to everybody about it. And this is how it should continue to be with all of us. No airs, no sense of preservation of image or what might people think. No, you don't worry about that. If you got married or if you've had a baby or a grandchild, well, you tell people about it, do you not? And show them photographs and the rest of it. This is how one rejoices. This is what it means to believe good news. And it's very clear in the ecstasy, really, of these hymns, these songs that you got in Exodus 15 and Isaiah 12, that quite naturally they were to tell the Gentile world in the context of how God had saved them. And I think the intention was that the Gentiles who heard that message should believe it and join in with them. Now, you ask yourself then, what is our motivation in preaching the gospel? Do you have that real experience of salvation? Because we should do. We must keep asking ourselves the question, if Jesus returns now, or I die now, if I have a clasping pain on my chest and I think, oh, this is a heart attack, and, well, that's it. The next you know is the kingdom of God. In those final moments, I mean, do you know what is going to happen to you? Well, we should do, because that is the good news. The only sense in which we can say, well, I don't ultimately know, is the sense that, well, I don't know, I may fall away next week or next year, I may lose my faith. We cannot be so arrogant as to assume we will not. But I think at this moment, the present truth, as Peter would put it, is that we are saved. We are in him. And should the Lord return or we die now, we will be saved. And then you can get in the spirit of the Song of Moses and the song that the exiles were intended to sing when they returned from Babylon. The sad thing was, of course, that the exiles didn't, for the most part, return from Babylon or Persia. They preferred the soft life, etc. That's the tragedy, in my opinion, of the ending of the Book of Esther, that they're wealthy and popular and in power, and everyone thinks they're good fellas, top blokes, etc. So they don't actually respond to the call to respond, to return and rebuild Zion. And so this song was not quite sung by them as it was intended. But we who have said yes, without question, we have said yes, we have been baptized. Well, we have been saved. Remember, Jude, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Of course, you can stop believing, but the point is, we have been redeemed. We have been saved. And we are abiding at this point in that great salvation. And we therefore should treat that as the best and greatest news that could ever be, and be unashamed in sharing that with, as he says here, making this known in all the earth.